We remain standing, let us pray.
Dear loving and gracious Lord God, thank you for the gift of your Son Jesus, a gift that we sometimes can take for granted. And thank you, Lord, that when we are in the midst of raging storms and darkness, unable to see our way, you promise to be there. Be with us today and always, and make our hearts receptive to your urgings. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Whenever I begin, and I'm sure others do it as well, to write a sermon, I have to search and listen for what I call a hook. Something that happens in daily life and can lead me into the scripture the Holy Spirit wants us to explore. Sometimes I know it right off the bat, like Monday morning, but often it may not present itself until just before I actually need to write out my sermon. And this week was no exception. And I remembered, or I was given the memory, of an incident that happened about 10 years ago in a chance conversation with a parishioner that gave me inspiration to go into the text from both Genesis and John. It happened at a daycare lunch on St. Patrick's Day at St. Albans in Burnaby. An older parishioner named Irene Joy, who wouldn't mind me saying her name, had been invited to do some tap dancing for the children. She'd never had dance lessons as a child because her parents couldn't afford them. Yet in spite of those obstacles, she loved dancing. She would go to shows and watch the feet of the dancers, and then she would go home and imitate their moves. The thing is, no one ever knew she loved tap dancing. She would do it in secret. And she only started to tap dance in public 5 years ago. She was over 80 by then. She told me that she's not really comfortable dancing in public. Her insides get into a knot, and when they videotape it, it's even worse. But she's determined to move out of her comfort zone and do it anyway. She was able to move out of the dark into the light of an audience because she loved to tap dance, and she loved the sound of the clickety clack of those taps on a good hardwood floor. And it took great courage for Irene to move out of her comfort zone. But it's always a stretch to move out of our comfort zone. Coming out west over 10 years ago was a stretch. It moved me out of my comfort zone because it was both kind of scary and exhilarating at the same time. But that's the nature of moving out of what or where we are most comfortable. It is scary. It can be frightening. But inevitably, it's usually probably good for us. And each of us have had rough and scary times in our lives where we're unable to see the road ahead. Visibility is down to zero. The roadsides don't make sense. Our prayers seem to go unanswered. And we know that we have to move whether we like it or not. The moving out of the dark, out of our fears, our apprehension, our level of comfort, it's just part of being alive. It's like a trapeze artist. You know, if you think about it, the picture of the trapeze, you know, it's that space between one rope to the other. You sometimes got to hold your breath and take the plunge. Hopefully with trapeze, though, you go from one rope to another. And then you look back, knowing, trusting, and believing that God's timing is always perfect. When I was a kid, I thought monsters lived under my bed. And so in the middle of the night, I had to get out of my bed. It was always with my eyes closed and as fast as my little legs would carry me. I did get over my fear. I think God sometimes does his best work in critical moments, those times when we finally throw up our hands, move out of the way, and let God take over. Because God knows our limits, and in his timing, he provides all that we could ever ask or imagine. And when we are out of our comfort zone, God is there, God will provide, and God is in control. When we play it safe, when we refuse to take risks of faith, I think we can block God's providence. And Genesis and John's gospel tell the story of two men who walked out of their comfort zone. Abraham, the great spiritual father of three great religions, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, left everything and obeyed the Lord. And the Lord said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, and your family's family, and go to the land that I will show you. Nicodemus, a Jewish leader and a Pharisee, stepped out of his comfort zone, and after dark, one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Both men stepped into the unknown from the dark of their comfortable lives. Abraham moved out in faith from Ur to Haran and finally to Canaan. And God established a covenant with Abraham, telling him that the Lord would make Abraham into a great nation. Through his family tree would come Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate. There was only one condition. Abraham had to leave his comfort zone. He had to obey and trust his life to God. And he walked away from his home for God's promise of even greater blessings in the future. I want us to think about that. Can we walk away from things out of our comfort zone, promise that there'll be greater blessings in the future? God may be trying to lead us to a place of greater service and usefulness for him. And I think we can't let the comfort and security of our present circumstances and position make us miss God's plan for our lives. Because being a disciple of Christ is not about playing safe. It's about walking through the storm, taking chances, trusting and obeying that God has our best interests at heart. 2,000 years later, Nicodemus, a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin, stopped and came to Jesus searching for answers. A learned teacher himself, he came to Jesus to be taught. He was teachable. We need to be teachable. He was teachable. He wanted to learn, and he was hungry. No matter how well educated and intelligent we may be, coming to Jesus with an open mind and heart is a chance to learn about the truth about God. Nicodemus came to see Jesus under the cover of darkness, afraid of what his peers might say about his visit. However, he pushed through his fear to discover Jesus for himself, to separate fact from rumor. And this gave him the courage to speak up boldly in Jesus' defense when the religious leaders tried to arrest him. Nicodemus, the leader who had met with Jesus earlier, spoke up. Is it legal to convict a man before he's given a hearing? John 7. A remarkable thing happened to Nicodemus when he stepped out of his comfort zone. He heard the words that bring into focus the message of the good news. And you all know this one. For God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. And this is where the whole of Scripture has been leading the chosen people, from Adam to John the Baptist. And God took the biggest risk of us, for us, the risk of loving. He gave up his child so that we might come to know the truth about God's nature. God loves us. We can step out of our comfortable pew and live our faith bound up in God's incredible grace. In God's kingdom, God offers grace that says you do not have to repent before I forgive you. God's grace announces forgiveness before repentance. Sinners, you and I are accepted before we plead for mercy. You and I, like the prodigal son, limping home, tattered and torn, falling into the Father's arms. Our Father who will not cross-examine us, who will not bully us, who will not lecture us on our ingratitude or insist that we do better. And while we are still a long way off, our Father sees us and is moved with pity, and he runs to us, holds us in his arms, and kisses us. Luke 15. The sacrifice, the giving up, the risk of the cross, the moving out of the comfort zone, the flying in the face of how the world sees things is this. Our loving God loves us just the way we are, but loves us so much that God won't leave us there. We don't have to beg. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to wallow in self-remorse or shame or self-condemnation. We don't have to offer any explanation until we are ready. Our loving Father is simply delighted that we are on the way home. And we realize that we're not alone on the yellow brick road. Traffic is heavy. Fellow travelers are everywhere. It is not just Jesus and me anymore. The road is dotted with the moral and the immoral, the beautiful and the grungy, friends and enemies, people who help us and those who hinder us, bank guards and bank robbers, human beings of bewildering completely in diversity, complexity and diversity. And the rabbi's word, of course, is to love each person along the way. What we do to them, we do to them, him. That's from Brennan Manning's book, Abba's Child. I don't know if you've ever read that. It's a beautiful book. Because you know what? We never know when God's going to show up. For God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Let us pray. Lord, in these days of mercy, make us quiet and prayerful. In these days of challenge, make us stronger in you. In these days of emptiness, take possession of us. And in these days of waiting, open our hearts to the mystery of your cross. In Jesus' name, amen.